want to be when you grow up? Any ideas?
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do when I grow up. But you know, we've been talking about Joseph and Pastor has the last few weeks. And the neat thing is there's a whole big story with this thing. That God has blessings for everyone. And he's leading each character in this story according to his plan, his way. Not necessarily the things that they want out of it. God's got this big plan for the nations, for the world. That's why I wanted to ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because God's got a plan for you. You might be the next pitcher for the Cubs or the Cardinals, or you might be the next NFL star to come out. You never know what God's got for you. And that was the amazing thing about this story with the big picture of what pastor's sermons have been about, that it doesn't matter how old we are, God has got a plan for all of us. And he does it his way. We try to do it our way, but he always does it his way because his plan's far better than ours. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for us. And just help us to be obedient and keep our ears open and our eyes open and just watch for you. And let us let you guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.
From among his brothers he took five men and presented them to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What is your occupation?" And they said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, as our ancestors were." They said to Pharaoh, "We have come to reside as aliens in the land, for there is no pasture for your servants' flocks, because the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now we ask you, let your servants settle in the land of Goshen." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brother in the best part of the land. Let them live in the land of Goshen. And if they know that there are capable men among them, put them in charge of my livestock." Then Joseph brought his father to Jacob and presented him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Jacob, "How many of the years of your life?" Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The years of my earthly sojourn are 130. Few and hard have they been, the years of my life. They do not compare with the years of the life of my ancestors during their long sojourn." Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from the presence of Pharaoh. Joseph settled his father and his brothers and granted them a holding in the land of Egypt, in the best part of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had instructed. And Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with food, according to the number of their dependents. Thus Israel settled in the land of Egypt, in the region of Goshen, and they gained possessions in it, and were fruitful and multiplied exceedingly. Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, so the days of Jacob, the years of his life, were 147 years. When the time of Israel death drew near, he called his son Joseph and said to him, "If I have found favor with you, put your hand under my thigh and promise to deal loyally and truly with me. Do not bury me in Egypt. When I lie down with my ancestors, carry me out of Egypt and bury me in the burial place." He answered, "I will do as you have said." And he said, "Swear to me." And he swore to him. Then Israel bowed himself on the head of his bed.
Swear to God, let's say it. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. And will you join me as we confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue our story. Last week, we heard how Joseph was reconciled. with his brothers. He revealed himself and says, I'm your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into slavery into Egypt. But do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves, for God has brought me here to preserve many people ahead of you. Joseph was willing to forgive them. And so he was reconciled with his brothers. And then he sent them ahead to go tell his father. They brought the great caravan to his father. And then his father finally came to Egypt. And as he got just to the border, Joseph took his fastest chariot and went and met him as soon as he could see him. And went out and ran and kissed him and hugged him and wept on his neck and embraced him. And Jacob had said that before, now that he saw Joseph, I deny him, he says, having seen for myself that you, Joseph, are still alive. So today we're going to see how Joseph and how God works reconciliation in Joseph's strange relationship with his father, Jacob. As we heard Dean read, as Joseph and Jacob, that Jacob's family, because of the famine, they exhausted all their resources. They run out of food. All they had were God's promises and God's mysterious provision, which would come through fulfillment of the dreams that God gave to Joseph that caused this whole mess where Joseph ended up in Egypt and there was that web of jealousy and anxiety on the part of the father trying to protect his son Joseph from his destiny because he was afraid and sending his son Joseph to spy on his brothers when he should have went there himself. Had he not spied on his brothers, he might not have been thrown into that pit, might not have been sold into slavery in Egypt, and his brothers might not have lied to his father. So Jacob had a heavy burden that he was bringing with him in his grief. Joseph didn't quite say this to his father, but I hope the Lord said to him on the journey there, like Joseph said to his brothers, Jacob, do not be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves. For I brought Joseph to Egypt. And so when they got there, they exhausted all their resources, and Joseph provided for them. They said, you come and reside as aliens in the land. There's no pasture for your servants' flocks because the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. And now Jacob and his family before Pharaoh, we have come to reside as aliens in the land. There's no pasture for your servants' flocks because the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. We ask you, let your servants settle in the land of Goshen. And then Pharaoh grants their requests. Not only that, he says, the land of Egypt is before you, settle your father and your brothers in the best part of the land. In the best part of the land. And let them live in the land of Goshen. And if you know there are capable men among them, put them in charge of my livestock. So Joseph was just the first fruits of this new leadership, this new destiny for the family of Jacob. That God sent Joseph ahead to Egypt to preserve a many people, but to forge the path to lead and serve so that his family could come and lead and serve and do what they do best. Shepherd flocks. It's kind of like where Jesus calls his disciples and says, come follow me and I will make you fish for people. You are fishermen now, but now I will make you fish for people. That God takes our gifts and our experience, and he can work through his mysterious will and his ways to take the lump of gold that is our hardship, that is our suffering, that is our disappointments, that is the things we go through, and the ebbs and flows, and the valleys and peaks in our lives, and he can turn it into a diamond in the rough. He can take what we do well and make us do his best. They are brought to lead in Egypt. And Pharaoh can trust them to lead by being in charge of his livestock. And then the story gets even a little bit more mysterious because Jacob is brought forth to Pharaoh. Now you would think that Pharaoh being the king of Egypt would be the one to grant the blessing to Jacob. But as we've seen, and we've heard before in Genesis, remember when Abraham had fought the giants and the kings, and he got that lot. And as they were negotiating with these other kings, the priest of the city of peace, of Salem, Melchizedek came. And Abraham was a great warrior, but Abraham was blessed by this high priest, Melchizedek, because Melchizedek was even greater than Abraham. Likewise, here we are, the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, who entrusted Joseph to save his people and would trust in God's word through Joseph, now had humbled himself and allowed for Jacob to come. If Joseph was great, then he must be even greater, his father. Must be such an honorable man that I would rather see his blessing. That blows my mind, the humility of this great leader of Egypt, Pharaoh, this great king. And he allows himself to be blessed by one who in the kingdom of God is even greater, Jacob, Israel, the father of many nations, grandson of Abraham, son of Isaac. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh asked Jacob to learn more about him and his people. And Jacob has a moment of humility. He says that these years of my life do not compare to the years of the life of my ancestors during their long sojourn. In other words, he didn't grow up in Canaan his whole life as a people, but they have been on a sojourn. They have been on this long journey where God is leading them to that promised land, where they would be numerous. His descendants would be numerous and would be a blessing to all nations. But they are on a sojourn, as we hear in this story, especially when it comes to they continue to their deaths, to Jacob's death, as we hear next week about Joseph's death. They continue to sojourn to that promised land, even in their death. Just like us when we die, because we all have to die at least until Jesus comes back. Even Christ had died for us for our sins. And when we die, we too sojourn to that promised land. To that promised land of eternal glory, to the kingdom of heaven, amen?
Amen.
We are a people who wander and sojourn in this world until God leads us to his promised land. When we exhaust ourselves of all our spiritual, emotional, and physical resources, God is waiting to provide for us, even at the point of famine, at the point of our demise, or at the end of ourselves. He is willing to bless us and to bring us into his glorious plan for us. And for many of us in the church today, as we are commissioned by Jesus Christ to go and make disciples of all nations, amen? God has a greater plan for us. That he wants to give us the best land where we can bear much fruit for his kingdom. Where we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others without hesitation. Where we can share how Jesus Christ has transformed our lives and his love is changing us so that we can love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength and love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Let's get back to Joseph. Joseph and Jacob. Because God has a work of reconciliation to do in and through them. They settled in the land of Egypt, came to Israel for 17 years. And then Israel's death drew near. He calls his son Joseph, and he harkens back to the old school covenant that his grandfather Abraham would strike. He says, if I have found favor with you, put your hand over my thigh, which sounds weird, but that's how they did really holy, special, binding legal covenants in those days. Just like his grandfather Abraham did. Put your hand over my thigh and promise to deal loyally and truly with me. At his death, Israel is calling his son Joseph to be loyal to him. death and beyond. To continue that promise, that covenant that God had given to Abraham, to Isaac, and now to Jacob, who is now Israel. He says, do not bury me in Egypt. When I lie down, will my ancestors carry me out of Egypt. Why? Because he's a soldier. He needs to go home to the promised land and that covenant promise from God. Carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place. And Joseph answered, I will do as you have said. He doesn't give any commentary. He says, I will do as you have said, Father. And he says, swear to me. And he swore to him. And then Israel bows himself at the head of the bed. But I want to go on, because the story continues. It's not just about being loyal to Jacob, but that Jacob wants to bless Joseph and his sons with the promises of God. Look at chapter 48. After this, Joseph was told, your father is ill. And so he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And when Jacob was told, your son Joseph has come to you, he summoned the strength and sat up in bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and he blessed me and said to me, I am going to make you fruitful and increase your numbers. I will make you a company of peoples and will give this land to your offspring after you for a perpetual holding. That is from generation to generation to generation. A trust from God. An inheritance from God for his people. Then he says, therefore your two sons, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are now mine. Now, Jacob or Israel can say this because he's still the patriarch of the family. He still has the family inheritance that was passed down from God by that holy covenant from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob and now to Joseph. That his sons Ephraim and Manasseh, or Manasseh to Ephraim, whose names we heard, Manasseh means the Lord has made me forget all my hardships of my past and even my father's house. And Ephraim, which means the Lord has made me fruitful in the land of my sufferings, or the land of my misfortunes. Joseph is not allowed by God to forge his own destiny after his father has passed on. He has to carry the torch. He has to honor the covenant, no matter how great he has become in Egypt. At his heart, his true identity is the son of Jacob, Israel. And he is the one whom the promise comes. And he is destined, even like his father, to go and be buried in that promised land on a family plot. And so, Jacob brings his sons. And Abraham says, therefore, your two sons who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt are now mine. Ephraim and Manasseh. Notice he says Ephraim and Manasseh. He doesn't say Manasseh and Ephraim. He's giving the clue. Shall be mine just as Reuben and Simeon are. As the offspring born to you after them, they shall be yours. They shall be reported unto the names of their brothers with regard to their inheritance. For when I came from Padan, Rachel, alas, Joseph's mother, died in the land of Canaan. And she died giving birth to Joseph's younger brother, Benjamin. On the way, while there was still some distance to go to Ephrathah, and I buried them there on the way to Ephrathah. And you know where Ephrathah was? It is the place that would be known as Bethlehem. To Bethlehem. Rachel died on the way to Bethlehem. We are all on this journey. And some of us might not make it in this life. We might not make it until the life to come to see that promised land. But the reality that we live in is living in God's promises. That God's promises are that path. Is that preview of the promised land we are called to go to find our rest in. And so when Israel saw Joseph's sons, he said, you are these. And Joseph said to his father, they're my sons, whom God has given to me here. Joseph gives all the credit to God. Even though he sired those two boys, he gave the credit to God. God has provided him with those sons. And he said, bring them to me, please, that I may bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, and he could not see well. That's a lot like his father, when Jacob tricked his father and dressed up like Esau to steal the blessing of that family inheritance, that covenant promise from God. And so now the tables have turned. And so Joseph knew that Israel's eyes were dim. And so Joseph brought his two sons near them, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel, his dad, said to Joseph, I did not expect to see your face. And here, God has let me see your children also. What a blessing. How many are grandparents? It's great to see your grandkids when they live far away, isn't it? Amen. So he goes in and he brings his sons. And Israel said, or Joseph removes them from his father's knee. And then here's what happens. I love this. After all the people have bowed to Joseph, even though he's Zaphnath Panea, the grand vizier of Egypt, Joseph bowed himself at the knees of his father with his face to the earth. That he honored his father and his mother to honor God. That everything he has, ultimately he owes to his father's faithfulness. Because as you and I know, that the promises of God, or the gospel of Jesus Christ, comes to you and I on its way to someone else. We can't take credit for the blessings that God gives us in our life. We can't will ourselves to take our first breath. We are at the mercy and the grace of God, whom God has blessed our family, our parents, who brought us into this world. And we are called to honor them to the day that they depart from us and go to be with the Lord. And so Joseph bowed on his face on the ground and humbled himself in that moment. And then Joseph had a plan. He wanted to write all this disorder in his family tree. Because he's a wise guy. He ordered all of Egypt and saved them from a famine through the wisdom that God gave him. And so he had this plan to write things that have been topsy-turvy in his family, in the way they go about things, especially his father, who can be very controlling, as we've seen. And he goes up, and he takes the book, and he has Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, because he's the second son. And then he takes Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right, because the right is the hand of blessing. That's the strong hand. That's the hand that's reserved for the firstborn of that double portion inheritance. And he brings them to Israel. And it's kind of like a preview of what we had before. It's like a sequel to what happened, where Isaac was blind and Jacob was posing as Esau. And so Joseph thought he was going to rectify that. But then his dad pulled a fast one. Israel stretched out his right hand. And he laid on the hand of Ephraim, who was the younger. So he crossed his arms over. And crossed, and then his left hand on the hand of Manasseh, crossing his hands. For Manasseh was the firstborn. So even though Joseph had all this wisdom, he thought he was trying to follow God's law. Either God spoke to Jacob, or Jacob was just a very stubborn man who continued to shake things up. But he blessed Joseph. I want us to read this verse right here. This is in 16, or 15 and 16. The God before whom my ancestors, Abraham and Isaac, walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all harm, bless, boys, in them. Let my name be perpetuated and the name of my ancestors, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude on the earth. Now that's a beautiful blessing. I invite you, when you have your kids or your grandkids for the holidays, for you to get a chance to see them, to pray that kind of a blessing over them. To remind them of how God has walked with your ancestors, of how God has been your shepherd all your life and even to this day. And how the angel of the Lord redeems you, or for us the Holy Spirit redeems us from harm. And may God bless your loved ones, your children, your grandchildren, the younger generation that God has entrusted you to love and to care for, and to pass on the promises of of God. Amen? Amen. But when Joseph saw that his father lay at his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it did displease him. And he took his father's hand and removed it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, "Not so, my father, since this one is the firstborn, put your right hand on his head." See, Joseph, he doesn't just shirk back and let his dad just control and manipulate things. He called his dad out on it. He was honest and he spoke the truth to his father in love with respect and just asked why. But his father refused and said, "I know my son. I know my son. I know. Ye shall also become people, and ye shall also be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his offspring shall become a multitude of nations." And so he blessed them that day. Just when we think we got God's plan figured out, just when we think we've got the hang of how things are supposed to be in life or in the church, God shakes things up. Jesus warned us. He said, "And the first shall become last, and the last shall become first." Amen? He humbled us so much that he sent his son to be born the king for us as a baby, helpless and held by his mother and his earthly father. And they were on the run as they were being hunted, but God protected them and brought them to Egypt for a time, just like the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, and Joseph. But let's say this blessing together. This is in verse 20, and we'll close before we read. So he blessed them that day, saying, "By you, Israel will invoke blessings, saying, God make you like Ephraim and like Manasseh." So he put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. But then Israel said to Joseph, "I am about to die." And this is important. "But God will be with you. I'm about to leave. But God will be with you." And we all come to that point in our lives where we're going to have to say to our loved ones, "I am about to die. I am about to leave. But God will be with you." Not only will God be with you, but he will bring you again to the land of your ancestors, to that promised land. That's a message you can live out this week. That you can say with confidence to your loved ones, "And I'm always going to be with you. And I want you to know that Jesus loves you and died on the cross for your sins. And God will provide a way for you. And God can make you new like he made me new. And even though I'm about to leave or I'm about to die, God will be with you. And he will bring you to his promised land. And I will see you on the other side of glory." But then it gets even better for Joseph. He gives him one last gift. He says, "Now I give you one portion, one of your brothers. The portion that I took from the hand of the Amorites," these people who worshiped false gods and giants, "with my sword and my bow." And so Jacob saved his greatest accomplishment, his greatest secret, his greatest treasure from his life as a father, and saved it for his son Joseph, who he owed his life because he saved the whole family's life from famine, and God called them to Egypt. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the God of the mothers and fathers in our lives, and for our ancestors who passed on the faith in Jesus Christ to us. Help us to be prepared to die someday with a leave, and that we can have confidence to trust God that you will be with our loved ones, and you will be with us in our transition. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.